In blessing the tribe of Naphtali, Moshe gives them the bracha of Sva Ratzon Umalei Birkas Hashem. What exactly does this mean, that you should be fulfilled of desire and filled with the blessing of Hashem? So Rashi explains that it's referring to how plentiful and how productive and beautiful the portion of Naphtali would be, and how it would be able to produce such beautiful and luscious fruit and vegetables and the like, that the people who live there, the tribe of Naphtali, would never have want for anything. However, that doesn't really address the second part of that phrase of Malei Birkas Hashem. However, in a similar vein, but focusing on that second phrase, the Da'as Sekenim Mibali Atozos explained that because this land was so beautiful and so productive and so lush, and the fruits would be so delicious and beautiful, anyone who went there and saw and tasted the fruit and the produce of Naphtali would be led to bless and give a bracha to Hashem, and therefore it was known as the land of Malei Birkas Hashem, because it was so beautiful and so delicious and so lush, that people would bless Hashem when they would experience it. Distilling this specific bracha into a larger principle, the famed Mashkiach of the Mir, Rav Yerucham Levavitz, in his Sefer Da'as Torah here in our Parsha, says the larger point that we see from this is that anything that brings people, that inspires people to remember Hashem, let alone to bless Hashem, that itself is a certain amount of Kedusha that gives that person or that object an additional or even an inherent significant sense of Kedusha. Rav Yerucham traces this phenomenon with a number of surprising examples, things which you never would have expected, things which are certainly far from innately holy, and yet, because they trigger a certain acknowledgement or praise of Hashem, they are given a certain holy stature. And then he says, Kavachomer, all the more so, this should remind us about how much we should appreciate all of Eretz Yisrael in general, how all of Eretz Yisrael should remind us of Hashem's miracles throughout history and His love for us as demonstrated in all those incredible miracles and great kindnesses He's done in and through the land of Israel. And having gotten to this point, starting off with the bracha of Naphtali and the comment of the Da'as Sekenim, and then bringing that to this idea of Eretz Yisrael being a trigger for loving Hashem and remembering Him, and that itself giving stature to Eretz Yisrael, the remainder of the essay, and of course the primary focus of this essay, which is really a few pages long and really deserves everyone's attention to see it in the original, because it's really so beautiful and inspiring. But just to give a few highlights of it, the rest of the essay is all about how we should appreciate Eretz Yisrael, whether we live in Eretz Yisrael or live in the diaspora in Chutz Laretz, and he has messages for both populations. We have to truly appreciate Eretz Yisrael. So just to give a few highlights of this incredible essay, he starts, among other places, by mentioning the Gemara in Ksubis, the famous Gemara at the end of the Masechet, which tells us about the great Chachamim who rolled around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, who kissed the cliffs of Akko, the rocks of Akko. And obviously this uncharacteristic and otherwise surprising behavior of great rabbis is meant to illustrate to us how much they loved Eretz Yisrael, how holy the land was, and of course if they appreciated and loved it so much, of course we're supposed to derive the lesson and hopefully love and appreciate the sanctity of the land as well. He then goes on to make a broader and more fundamental point based on a number of sources, including a well-known comment of Ramban, that the Iker Tachlis, he says, of all mitzvos, of the entire Torah, the ultimate purpose of everything is Eretz Yisrael, is for the vision and the values of the Torah to be lived out in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore we must realize, wherever we live and at whatever time in history we find ourselves, just how kadosh, just how holy and central the land of Israel is to the Jewish people's vision and understanding of the world. He even makes an astonishing point to illustrate what level we should be on in terms of our appreciation, how he says there was a time in history where there were people who wouldn't make Aliyah because they truly felt unworthy, because they honestly felt, how can I live in Paltin Shel Melech, in the palace of the king? The closer you get to the king, the better behaved you have to be. Maybe I can live in Europe, but how can I live in Eretz Yisrael? I can't reach such a level. I think if we were to hear this nowadays, we might be skeptical or even cynical of such an expression. And I don't think he means to say that everyone felt that way even 100 years ago. But the fact that there were some people, says Rav Yerucham, he knew people like this. So that is certainly an illustration of, you know, how much we ought to appreciate and how much certain people did appreciate the holiness and sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. After having made that point with numerous sources, he then makes another point, which is really quite remarkable. He says, it's not just the land of Israel, but the people who live in Eretz Yisrael as well. He says, if it's true about the rocks in the land of Israel, Kol Shekein She'ish Me'eretz Yisrael Kedushi Bo Yoser Me'avaneha. If the rocks of the land of Eretz Yisrael is so holy, then a Ben Eretz Yisrael, someone who lives there, is even more holy than the land. And we should appreciate those people, he says, as well. He then gives a personal recollection of being 6 years old, a little boy, when someone, a mashuluch, came from the land of Israel, somebody from Kupas, Rabbi Meir Bahanes, to collect money in his town in Russia. And he says the people were so excited that they saw Ben Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't believe it. They were filled with such excitement and love just to touch someone who came from Eretz Yisrael. Says of Yeruchim, we mamish kissed his clothing, like the Chachamim kissed the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it meant to meet someone who was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Of course, he acknowledges that over time, the more access we've had to the land of Israel, naturally the less appreciation we have for it. And he even laments, Va'ani kfar margish batzmi. He admits he himself feels that he doesn't appreciate Eretz Yisrael as much as he used to when he was younger. And there's a general Yetzer Hara, he says, especially in his door, and it's certainly gotten worse, not better since then, that we look to tear things down based on the various blemishes we find, instead of building things up. We must do the opposite. We must look for all the reasons that Eretz Yisrael is good and beautiful and build it up in our mind based on that. Last but not least, he has a special message for those of us who are lucky enough to live in Eretz Yisrael. He says there's a special responsibility, a special achrayus, for those who live in Eretz Yisrael to behave in a way that brings kavod to the land. People should say, wow, that's someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael. That's a child who was raised in Eretz Yisrael. However, if we or our children behave no better, or chas v'shalom worse than people who live outside the land of Israel, that is a form of machalas hakachim. We've desecrated something that's holy, and that is something that we would be very, 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 very upset about.